something in crimson. Something that should be stopped. Stop now, not later, but now. Here's why. Crimson is sick, sick and red. No telling what Crimson might do if the notion should start in its head. Might blow us all up. Who knows? Know what the trouble in Crimson is? Doesn't know when to stop. Always wants more and more and more. I'll bet you that every war that's ever been fought was fought most of all because Crimson was taught to want more and more and more. Like I said, Crimson, you're sick. Sick in the red. No telling what Crimson might do if the notion should start in his head. Watch out! Watch out for Crimson.
Hello, my fabulous radio listeners, and welcome to yet another episode of Sex Talk, previously known as Loveline. I am your host, DJ Environmental Factors 10,000. And tonight, we have in the studio, once again, our frequent visitor, Dr. Michael Zeilin from the Homosexual Research Institute. Welcome, Michael.
Welcome. I want to mention that, you know, we have a new project at the Homosexual Research Institute. We're studying the Quran there, and we're trying to show how the Quran is actually a major effort by Muhammad to increase the number of homosexuals in the world.
Now, Michael, I would just like to remind our listeners that these opinions are Michael's alone. I, for one, respect all of the world's cultures and religions and do not mock them under any circumstances.
Oh, we're not mocking. We're just trying to show that the Quran was a way that Muhammad meant to proselytize for homosexuality. Wait, this is a good thing. This is the furthest thing from mockery.
All right, well, I'm going to try.
How many homosexuals are currently literate?
we don't quite have statistics on those numbers.
So I actually neglected to mention our other special guest, Tom. Tom is from yet another secret government think tank, which I'm not allowed to mention by name, which also studies various aspects of human and transhuman development.
Is the tangerines one of their specialties, from what I understand?
And Tom is going to be talking about biological and genetic influences on human development of various kinds. So welcome, Tom.
Hello.
Thank you for being here. At any point, I just want to remind our listeners that if you have questions or comments about the show, please do call in 621-WRCT, also 268-WRCT. If you're on campus, it's conveniently the five digits 89728. So, Tom, when we were at a cafe earlier talking about our experiences, and you proposed a theory that all sexual orientation is biological in nature.
Well, I was just reading an article the other day about a child who had difficulty during circumcision, which I actually promote.
You promote circumcision?
Yeah, definitely. There's like four reasons why I promote it.
I'm anti-circumcision.
I'm actually completely opposed. Oh, even though I am my own penis has undergone this terrible procedure, I'm very sorry that it happened. And as people know that listen to the show, I'm actually actively trying to restore my foreskin.
Well, you can sort of tell that there's
I tell my mother how much I hate her for having circumcised.
Well, you know, there's a reason that anti-circumcision or not being circumcised is a problem, because there's sort of a following for people that aren't circumcised. So it's sort of anything where there's a following for a minority group, you know, is sort of a problem to begin with. So,
you keep talking while I try to.
It's sort of like some sort of fetish. So it's not the norm. So because it's some sort of oddity, sort of like having goiter. Like if people had a fetish for that, then it'd be, ooh, look, I like guys with goiter. I like girls that have this.
Well, right, but I mean, but hold on. I mean, in the natural physical form of the body has a foreskin, right? I mean, the foreskin is chopped off by some like butcher at birth, right?
Nails.
I mean,
so are like nails, and so is like infected tonsils.
Nails are dead tissue, and tonsils are diseased when they're removed, right? I mean, so foreskin is presumably.
And in fact, removing tonsils is a bad idea too. On the whole, they did it far too much.
So let's get to these four reasons. Number one.
Oh, yeah, I want to know when it's from purely aesthetics. It actually just does certainly look better, according to.
The penis looks better. So, well, see, okay. The penis looks better circumcised, you claim.
This is what I just hear from everybody.
Well, what about your own? Are you circumcised?
Yeah, and I was told that it was called perfect. Was the
your penis is perfect?
Perfect was the term for it, and I'm circumcised. Another one is for just health reasons alone. One, you know, there's less chance of what, cancer.
Sometimes
some women's.
Yeah, that's right. The women having sex with uncircumcised.
Yeah, that's another problem is just the smell. Like, I've often been walking around and I can smell a man who has an uncircumcised penis, just sort of like just the growth and the froth that develops with
an
uncircumcised
penis.
Well,
this is all a matter of aesthetics that you're giving us.
No, it smells like just rot. And so that's the reason.
So that's the cheese I eat. I mean, what's your problem here?
Yeah, but you don't want the cheese in your eye and your hair and stuff.
I don't often get, you know, stuff from other people's penises in my hair and eye and that type of place.
I haven't figured out number four yet, but.
Number four is shame. Shame because boys who have to grow up showering in the PE, taking the other kids are circumcised, they're not. They're labeled a freak. It probably lack of circumcision has probably turned more boys gay or suicidal or both than any other single surgical technique.
Okay, so what was the original thing we were talking about?
But at what I address these issues, it's important. I mean, penis smell. I mean, you know.
I know we should actually have a vote for callers. So they'd like to call in to actually see if they sort of promote. Or.
That's an excellent idea. Please call in with your circumcision stories.
Yeah, and your list of like pros and cons. The number again is
61 WRCT, 268 WRCT, and the special pre-college hotline, the pre-key hotline, 89728.
And we'll give a little prize for the first caller. It's called like the mystery.
A free foreskin wallet.
No, the mystery gift.
The mystery gift. So there is, as you know, foreskin restoration techniques. There are foreskin restoration techniques, and I'm undergoing it right now. What you do, you can't restore nature's original foreskin, of course, but what you do is you slowly stretch the skin back over the head of the penis by using purely physical means. It's not surgical. You tape your foreskin, or you tape the skin up, or you kind of wrap it with a little rubber band and hang a weight on it, and just by allowing the skin to stretch and grow in this new configuration, you actually... I've seen this on the web. I don't know.
It's sort of allowing yourself to get something that is unpleasant, such as goiter. It's sort of odd that you would sort of right. Try to allow yourself to develop some sort of what I would consider a physical deformity.
So you have a perfect penis. Is that?
Well, I was told that my penis should be used sort of as the mold for dildos. That
really?
It's just perfect.
Why is that? Is it big? Are you unusually big?
Well, I think it's more just pleasing to the eye, or most tend to be
nice.
Very sort of unpleasant. I think if you look at mine, you don't lose your appetite like most.
well,
you don't cringe.
I've seen a lot of penises, you know, in my life, and I don't think I lose my appetite. Although some are more proportionate and more like appropriate to the person than others.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's some people who are just like. Who, you know, their penis matches them, and the penis looks good, they look good. I mean, they indeed. So you must be one of those, although I've not seen you naked, except for, well, it was dark, that one encounter. But I'm actually very interested in this. Can we take a plaster cast or something?
Well, you know what I actually have done? You know those little, you know those pin things where you push your hand to those? I've done that before. And
really?
You didn't
bring that
to
mind?
No, I'm trying to think of things in this room that we can... sort of use
my hand.
Okay. So we'll go back to the original thing. We're talking about circumcision because we were discussing an article in the news where a boy was undergoing a circumcision, and the thing that happened was there was a problem, and they decided to make him a female. Birth, and they actually...
And this happens a lot.
Keep in mind, we should give an important message here that doctors really shouldn't do circumcisions with chainsaws. It's just a bad idea.
Or with teeth. And the thing that, the problem was, that I just think that due to the problems with the circumcision, it would be too deformed, so they just sort of made a vagina, and they actually gave him hormone treatment since birth. And now, I've got the age of the person, but supposedly... She is bisexual and has happy relationships with both males and females. And so people are enjoying this article because they think that it promotes the sort of the environmental side of sexual orientation.
Well, it's not entirely environmental if this person was getting shots.
Well, I think the thing that they're saying is that because the guy was always treated as a girl, ended up becoming a girl, as opposed to just complete genetic disposition at birth.
Right. Well, you know, but still, you know, if you gave me female hormones since my birth, I'd probably be bisexual too, or something.
Or look a little bit different.
I'd be different. That's right. I wouldn't be. This is a.
That's hairy.
The towering example of masculinity you see before you. So I keep reminding our viewers of this. So this thing happened in the 70s. There's this famous story that I keep telling people about, and I'm apparently the only person that knows about this, which is this child that was born and his penis was similarly mutilated, raised as a female, blah blah blah, but when he reached puberty, started having gender problems, and he wanted a sex change. And he, now she, didn't feel comfortable in her female body and said, I think I'm really a male. I feel like a man trapped in a woman's body. And then it was just like incredible because he in fact was born male. And so this was a blow to all these people.
Well, it's odd how a friend of mine actually says, why do we accept transvestites and transsexuals? I mean, it seems odd that we don't accept things like pedophiles and people into bestiality, but we so easily accept transvestites and we call RuPaul what he wants to be called and call... Who are the other famous
Michael Jackson, is it? We call him what he wants to be called.
But he's a pedophile.
That's my point.
And the horse farm. But he mentions that it's odd that we just so readily accept transsexuals like that, yet...
Why don't we necessarily accept transsexuals that easily? I've heard that transsexuals are often treated with a good bit of hostility.
Well, how would you even know? I mean, I always walk around and you can't tell people at the last second until you feel their Adam's apple or something like that.
Well, I think that, you know, there are some transsexuals that do really good jobs, but there's some that aren't quite as successful.
Well, because some of them look terrible. Like, out of the three of us, who would look best as a female?
I would, obviously. Well, you're so sweet looking.
But there's certain things.
People fear me. I'm a better male because people already naturally fear me.
But there's certain males that just shouldn't try to be transvestites.
Oh, absolutely.
Right?
I think Charles Nelson Reilly is a perfect example.
No, but I was at Eden Park the other day, and these guys were just burly. They would look like burly rapists, yet they were in dresses, though, when I was... And I was... and... I don't know, I think there should be some sort of limit of like...
You have to give me that, because you're breaking it.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Sorry, it was an important piece of
equipment that I'm playing with and breaking.
High-tech, very high-tech.
A perfect penis apparently does not give you a...
Give me...
Give you the right to destroy any piece of...
Is that a caller we have? Or
well, no? We don't know. Keep talking.
Well, if someone else would like to call, you can call us at 621-WRCT or 268-WRCT, and if you're on campus... The number is 8, extension 8, WRCT.
Ah, that's right. So I understand that as part of your research, you're actually thinking of building, as an annex to your laboratory, you're actually thinking of building a massage parlor.
Yeah, well, one of the things I was reading, actually, in Pittsburgh Magazine and City Paper, is it called? City Paper. There are all these numbers, and you know they're not 900 numbers because the numbers start off with, like, the three digits that are on the area.
Right?
Yeah, the things like 621.
Right, so they're ordinary people.
Like, yeah, like 422, and I was like, oh my god, that must be such a nice way to make money.
So this is in-call massage. You go to some person's apartment in Shadyside, for example.
Well, I think it would be easier if they just came to your place and you wouldn't have to worry about it.
Make house calls.
Well, house calls means that you go there.
So, right, so which kind of massage were you thinking of? They would actually come to your apartment?
Probably just come to mine, because you don't have to worry about it. Like going to someone else's place, or like
your laundry bills are
going
to be huge.
That's why I would always think you just lay like a tarp out or something like that.
Okay, so you would do, is that in call or out call? Out call, I guess. They would come to your apartment. You would give them a massage. The question is the key question. Naive people just starting out in the massage industry. The key mistake they make is they don't realize that all massage is sexual in nature. You know, if I came to your massage parlor and you gave me a fabulous full body massage and then I wanted you to finish me off, would you be willing to do that?
Well, see, the thing is, I think I wouldn't actually touch the people. The thing I would always do is it'd be pretty dark and I would actually be just sort of be rubbing tongs or something like a spatula on the person. And they, I actually would never really even be touching them, so...
Well, that does seem very sensual.
Or use my feet, maybe, something like that, where I actually just wouldn't even be... I mean, I assume I could do this and watch television also.
Right, that's interesting.
This seems like a strategy for, like, you know, maybe welfare mothers to earn a living, you know, watch TV and do massage at the same time.
No, I think I think I'm very pro, like, multitasking. I mean, I could, like, study formulas or something while I was doing it. I don't think I'd want to devote my full attention to the task.
Right. And so do you think you'd get a lot of repeat business?
Well, I think the thing that I would do is, I think the real pleasure wouldn't be coming from massage because, like, you know, like spatulas and feet aren't really that pleasing. But I think the thing I would do is just sort of pinpoint just sort of, like, the weakness or something that the person had and just talking to them and sort of... feel that.
You mean the psychological weakness?
Yeah, so they'd actually be coming for like a physical rub down, but really it'd be like a mental, well,
that,
you know.
That's fantastic. So well, maybe we should try a little scenario right now. I mean, if Dr. Zylina, or maybe me myself was willing, so why don't you start massaging me and then try to probe my psychological weakness and see if we can...
Well, I'm trying to think what I can use here. I could use
eat the water bottle.
But you have to have something that sort of makes them think it's a hand. Like, even this microphone might even... I could tell them I'm like, what, like club-footed or something. And use that.
Wow, so let's see, the club-footed psychoanalyst.
I think also think the problem now is that people have to really specialize. So I think prostitutes and escorts actually really have to sort of specialize unless they're just gorgeous to begin with. So I think that people should really do things like handicap massage or things like... I don't know. I was reading a thing in Germany about like naughty.
No, wait a second. Let me just say, handicap massage just means that you massage the handicap, or is it like the handicap person uses their handicap?
You deliberately cripple yourself in order to do this.
I mean, you can always just. I mean, I think the thing. I would think that escorts that just had some sort of diversity, so you can be like Handy Bill one day, and the next day be like Policeman Bob.
Well, it's fantastic. So it's adding a fantasy element to massage. But this would not be, you would keep your own penis, perfect though it may be, secreted away, right? This would not be a sexual thing. But you were previously a prostitute, right? I mean, you did.
The nice thing about having my penis look just like a dildo is that I'd actually be able to use a dildo instead of actually my penis. Right.
And that's a form of safer sex that you employ.
Safer sex, and I could actually just sit there and read a book or watch television while I was just sort of moving my hand back and forth along the person's face and eyes and whatnot.
Right, well,
again, if anybody would like to call with comments or questions or suggestions or comments, please call us at 621-WRCT or 268-WRCT. Again, the first caller will win a mystery prize.
Don't forget also to visit us on the web. http://sextalk.wrct.com. And the first 1,000 visitors to our website, well, never mind. I was going to offer a free massage, but maybe not. So if we can just step back to this original topic for just a moment. Dr. Zylina has this theory about sexual orientation and that it is entirely biological in nature, right? You're born gay.
I thought you said that
I thought I was supposed to do the environmental side. I could go either way.
I was looking through your dossier here, and I was sure it said biological.
But I thought that Tom's Research Institute had decided it was biological. I thought I was supposed to argue the other side.
Well, this is very technical. Just
well, actually, one of the things that we were looking at that someone else mentioned to me was that this one guy said, actually a student here at CMU mentioned that gay males on average tend to be better looking than straight males.
But at the Homosexual Research Institute, we have the answer for that. It's very simple. They exercise more. They eat better food.
This is not true, actually. I would like to denounce this myth, because I exercise a lot, okay? And so I jog through Pittsburgh's so-called fruit loop.
Actually, am I the only straight male here?
Well, that's questionable.
I guess there is at most one straight male here.
So I guess it's yes, so we should all just...
So I jog through this well-known gay area in one of Pittsburgh's parks every day, and there are all these gay men kind of sitting in their cars or walking around, and they all look at me when I jog by, and I don't know like where gay men learn to cruise, but this has got to be the most unattractive thing a man could do, is get this kind of like pathetic hangdog expression. And
no, I had this thing where I was walking downtown where they rub the crotch, sort of like you were rubbing your stomach when you were five and you were hungry.
Right, and patting your head.
So they would sort of rub their crotch. And I think the other hand goes like this.
Really?
You know,
for radio listeners, what you're doing is you're sensuously stroking your left nipple.
Well, you know how when females are nervous, they'll put their hands on their chest and go like this, so it's like, oh, like if they're nervous, they go like that.
Again, for our listeners.
The producer got a little frightened, so she just...
So it's like, oh my, and then you give each breath to squeeze.
Well, it's sort of odd because it's sort of one of those emotions. It's sort of like crying. You do it when you're really happy, you're really sad. The emotion where you have both your hands over your... Sort of the famous Janet Jackson pose with the hands over the boobs, but
that's
then sort of pulling them to the side.
The breast is, of course, the ultimate source of nutrients. For the
Yeah,
for the
so it
child.
Sort of makes sense how...
To protect the breast.
So if a female sees something she really likes, it's like, oh.
Oh, I want to nurture it with my...
But then if it's something that's really frightening, like, I want mommy, then it's like, oh... But it does pretty much the same hand motion in general.
Okay,
but it's sort of odd how males will do that, but instead of just both hands, they usually take the dominant hand, and it's sort of...
One hand goes to the crotch,
one hand goes to the boob. Yeah, so...
And so you're walking down Liberty Avenue, and so these guys are rubbing...
I'm trying to think, where have I seen this? I think there's a coffee shop that I jog by that there's a lot of rubbing going on when I go by. What is it? Dancing Goat? Ooh, we shouldn't even say the name, right?
We can say I don't know.
Like Dancing Poets?
I think we're allowed to say names of establishments in Pittsburgh. So I don't understand. This is so unfair because, you know, here I am, actually a homosexual, and nobody ever hits on me ever. It just, like, never happens. I'm, like, really repulsive and ugly or something. And no. You don't even want this attention. You walk by the Dancing Goat, and these guys are all doing this kind of complicated multi-limb rubbing.
Well, I always say that it's not looks that matter. I always think it has to do with presentation.
Uh-huh.
And
you have to stop doing that because that's annoying.
Oh, sorry. Sort of for
he's
I mean
a
I
bad guess.
Playing with the equipment, you're not.
I always say that I use this argument always for overweight females. It's like two things that they can decide to do. One is they can walk to a party and put their heads down and be like, oh God, everybody's looking at me like I'm overweight.
Uh-huh.
Or they can walk in and be like,
Hey,
look at me, I'm a goddess.
I'm fat and easy.
Yeah. And actually, which is another topic for the day, why overweight females have to specialize. So like they always make the argument that overweight females are better at oral sex or just easier because they have to sort of specialize because there's really nothing else to offer. This is what I actually heard from someone else, so this isn't... myself.
Yeah.
We should actually have some intelligent, educated females that are overweight call and disprove us. So the number again is... 621 WRCT 268 WRCT. And if you're on campus, extension 8 WRCT. But back to.
Do you exude confidence and sex appeal when you run and this just draws men to you? I don't get it.
Well, I put on hair extensions usually. So they look like the stallion running. I'm trying to think. No, but you know there's a difference when someone walks into the room if they're just sort of...
Well, no, I know that difference, but what about me? What am I talking about me?
No, we should all rank each other. Say, Mike, you want to walk into the room and we'll say, like, we'll actually comment if we were sitting at a party.
This is a good experiment. Okay, Mike, we're going to walk into the studio and we're going to give you our first impression.
So pretend you're walking into a frat party.
Like a frat party or something like that?
I don't smell any beer.
You're talking is pointless. Like, we really can't hear you talk, so just...
Right, so...
And open the door also, that's a big thing. I'll have a few scenes. Like one is like if he's in a bad mood, one if he's in a good mood. Actually, you should take the gay necklace off because that's sort of just sort of it's sort of difficult to see anything with the gay necklace.
Yeah, hey, this is a macho necklace.
Actually, I never
are derailers. They look like flowers, but they're derailers. They're part of bicycle equipment.
So I never understand the whole gay necklace on pins and backpacks and the flat. I always think it's sort of a signal like I want sex, I want sex.
Well, it is, right? It's like, you know, see, that's exactly it. You spend your whole life being closeted, like, I don't want anybody to know I'm gay. I don't want to, and then finally, when you snap out of it, you're like, I want everyone to know I'm gay. And then the painful realization you come to is that you still can't get sex, even when everyone knows you're gay. You're still rejected.
Well, do you think that...
I also want to point out that straight boys tell me how much they like this necklace, so... It's not really.
Well, what they like is that you're announcing your homosexuality, so they're not threatened by your hidden homosexuality. It's out there in the open, and they can deal with it because you're advertising it.
So I actually missed you walking in the room. You want to take that off and do it again?
I don't think this experiment is working.
And walk in with, like, an attitude. Don't just walk in.
But I'm not really good at that type.
Well, see, actually, the point is he walked in like, oh, God, everybody's looking at me. I'm being criticized.
Yeah, it wasn't very arousing.
I know.
The visual effect is, of course, lost on our listeners, but obviously people don't care. Well, this is good. I'm going to give a public service announcement. You have 10 seconds. Go. Want to help save a life? Sponsor members of your group with Save a Life Saturday scholarships. Send 20 people to learn cardiopulmonary resuscitation, CPR, on Saturday, August 22nd at the Boardwalk in Pittsburgh's Strip District. For more information, call 412-578-3172.
Verily, those who believe and who are Jews and Christians and Sabians, whoever believes in Allah on the last day and do righteous good deeds, shall have their reward with the Lord. Shall there be no fear, nor shall they grieve.
I cannot promote reading of the Quran on this show. You have to suppress that. I'm sorry. You will not mock someone's culture on my show.
I'm just trying to share, you know, the good word of Allah with everyone.
Anyway.
So back to self-presentation. I think that's actually what it has to do. I'm going to actually move my seating position, so if you guys want to chat for a second.
I guess. I don't know what we're going to talk about.
Okay.
So, like, this little experiment tasks me. What are the writers? What do you do? What do you do?
Well, I do, but I think you notice certain people that just sort of present themselves well, so it's not even... I always think of
it as... because they're good-looking. They have natural abilities. All the time.
No, I think the thing that happens is that if you take a person, if you rank someone on a scale from 1 to 10 in their looks, and as someone who's a 6, if they present themselves really well, it brings them up to, like, an 8 or a 9.
Oh, yeah. Well, certainly that's true.
Yeah, so I think everybody has the ability to, like, bump themselves up like 3 or 4 points.
Right, well, what about somebody like me who's like a 1.5 or a 2? Actually, I'm probably about pi over 2. I think that's, you know, 1.7.
No, the good thing about you is you don't have, like, there's some things, like, you don't have...
What is that, 1.5?
Like you walk. I mean, you're still able to just do...
I'm fully functional. But, you know, I'm old and angry and I have no hair and I've shaved my head. And so I think what can I do presentation-wise?
Well, I think presentation, you can think of it in two terms. One is presentation, sort of like more long-term presentation, so sort of the way you take care of yourself, the way you dress, the way you groom. Like, Michael, when was the last time you shaved? Like, eighth grade? I mean, you look like a burly, not a burly rapist, you look like... you look like you would pick up sons at a daycare center and rub them. And it's frightening. And I think that long facial hair frightens people.
So you're saying I'm a scary looking guy.
But scary, scary. See, not scary in the sense of, I would say spooky. Scary. Scary is sort of like Freddy Krueger's scary. More like, oh, he's gonna attack me. Oh no, he's gonna rub me while I'm asleep.
That's right.
So it's more spooky. Oh no, this person's been in the locker room for the last 2 hours.
You don't mean spooky. You mean creepy.
Yeah, creepy. Like, why is this person watching me getting dressed?
Yeah, like, why is this person taking 4 showers?
Why is this person, like, rubbing my son's thigh?
He's got a point.
Yeah, I'll just have to, you know, shave and you know, start, you know, have my tip pierced and have a cross put in there, you know, so people know I'm a good Christian. Just like Tom, you know, good Christian.
Do you have a nipple piercing with a cross on it?
No, you can all look. There's nothing on my nipples.
Well, you have kind of an attractive chest.
No, I haven't worked out in a long time. Well, you know what we should do? We should all do the times that we work out so people actually can come and see the speakers. Because I always think that when I listen to the radio, I'm always so curious. Like, God, what do they look like?
I am too. People, I get, based on the hundreds of email and marriage propositions I get on a daily basis, I think people feel the same way about me. But then they meet me and they see how bitter and angry I am, and then they're just like, oh. So I'm actually, I don't want people to watch me work out.
Well, I can give my schedule. On Monday and Wednesday, I swim at the Pitt Gym. On Tuesday and Thursday, I lift weights at CMU from 9 to 10 in the University Center. And Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, I'm more erratic.
This is very interesting. I want to read another public service announcement. American Sign Language classes will be offered by Westmoreland County Deaf Services for 10-week sessions at their 1011 Old Salem Road office. That's 1011 Old Salem Road, Suite 102 in the Human Services Center, Greensburg, Pennsylvania, beginning the week of September 14, 1998. All classes include 20 hours of instruction. Call 832-7600 for information. See, the reason I read that is because I think I always wanted to have a deaf boyfriend. This has been a lifelong fantasy of mine, to have a deaf boyfriend.
What about a mute? You
get mute and deaf at the same, sort of the same stroke. I mean, well, I guess not necessarily, but when I guess not.
I think it'd be nice to have a mute. I guess not like mute girlfriend, because that's sort of,
That'd be a straight boy's fantasy.
But they're more sensitive.
No, I think I was trying to even think of maybe not mute just because of some like vocal problem, but I was thinking of maybe the mouth forced shut, like not actually developing a mouth at birth. But then I was like,
that's kind of sick, though, right?
And how would you get oral sex then? Well, I know how you'd do it, but I mean, you know, normal straight boys might have problems with it.
Wait, are you actually capable of auto fellatio?
No, I'm not. But I actually had a friend who was able to put his head into his lap. I mean, I can't come close even. I can't even put my head to my knee.
Put your knee? You just did it. You're halfway there. How do you...
No, actually, I mean, I was even reading that even females can do it, which even seems a lot harder than... I mean, my tongue...
Do what? Self-gratification?
Self-gratification. And everybody always makes the argument, oh, if I could do it, I would never do it. I mean, I think everybody would do it.
Who makes that argument? People, if they could, they never would.
Well, that's sort of the whole.
Like, I would be gay if I sucked on my own penis. How stupid is that?
Well, I mean, there's also the thing like masturbating is also the pleasure of your hand and not your penis. So, am I gay because I'm like touch my own penis?
I don't care to answer that. Are you gay because you touch your own?
No, I mean, it's a lot of pleasures.
I'd like to see your perfect penis someday, just to know. Just so that I know that I have something to aspire to, basically.
Well, if there's a caller.
Well, do not. Sometimes we just get calls.
No, I meant if there's a caller who will call at 621-WRCT. What are the numbers, RCT? Maybe it's easier.
WRCT stands for 9728. So
6297.
No, God, 621-9728.
Oh, we do have a caller.
Oh, fabulous.
Hello, caller.
I was wondering how the gay guys present themselves.
I'm sorry.
I think you said... I'm sorry, can you repeat your question?
I was wondering how the gay guys present themselves.
How the gay guys present themselves. How they should,
how they actually do.
You mean how the two of us gay members of the studio...
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'm itching my testicles. I don't know. I guess that means I'm the straight male here.
Uh-huh. Well, so Tom, you should... Now that you see us, you should give your...
How should I...
See, Tom is straight, and so I can give the straight man's perspective to what we're like.
Michael is sort of in the cat position with the butt high up in the receptive position, sort of like a cat on a prowl. His middle finger is sort of on the side of his mouth, pulling his saliva down, and his head keeps on turning more to the right, sort of like the Santa Claus.
But,
I think he's on the front lawn.
That's not really fair, because we just gave him some catnip earlier. So
caller, can I? Why are you asking this?
I just wondered what they meant by presenting themselves as far as attitude and manners or whatever, or if they meant like dressing or whatever.
Well, listen, I mean, are you gay or straight yourself?
I'm bi.
Okay, so if you saw me at a party and you're like, wow, I want him.
Perfect penis.
Yeah. So what would you do if you were going to come up to me and talk to me?
I just strike up a conversation, ask how you are. Which,
so let's pretend we're at a party.
Pardon?
Let's pretend we're at a party.
Okay.
You guys make music. Alright, so I'm standing there, and I have a wine cooler in my right hand and my left hand in my pocket. So you come up to me, what would you say?
I'd say, you're pretty nice looking, I guess.
You're pretty nice looking?
And I'd be like, nice as in physical nice, or nice as in I would babysit your cat?
Physical, I guess.
And I'd be like, well, thank you. I did it myself.
Yeah.
And then, and if I said, wow, you know, you're not so bad yourself. I said, do you work out?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Really?
Uh-huh.
And then I would, and then, what if some guy pushed you out of the way and said, yo, dude, he's mine.
I guess I'd be the gentleman and let you have him, I guess.
No, but say, oh, okay. See, that's, see.
See, that was the crucial point. That's where you, I know.
And then you see me walking away with Andre the Giant, whatever it was. No, see, I think, but would you say it like that? Hey, how are you doing? Or would you be like, yo, what's up?
I'd probably be like, how are you doing? Like, just casually, not like, yo, what's up? Or
yeah, see, I think that always way to present it. I think the people that I'm most attracted to are people that just look like they're having fun.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I want part of that fun.
Uh-huh.
Can I interject the completely opposite counter-argument to this? I mean, the people that you're describing that have this high, sort of high-intensity confidence are the people that are least likely to score with me. I'm just like, you are such a disgusting phony. Please stay away from me. A little bitterness adds
what about pity sex? Pity sex. I mean, I think I do a charity once a month, pity sex.
Really?
Yeah. If you guys...
You're such a nice guy. I don't believe in that type of charity, but you know.
So once a month you find somebody who's beneath you, if you will.
Oh, caller, you know, you're our first caller for tonight.
Oh, okay.
So you're welcome to this pity sex with this month.
No, so you're welcome to a mystery gift of your choice.
Okay.
So... At the end of the call, you can sort of just pick anything you want, sort of like rubbing a genie.
Uh-huh.
So, caller, how are your what has your success rate been in the past when going to parties and looking to score?
I guess I've been pretty fairly decent, I guess.
Is that what you do? Is that how you find? I mean, are you in a relationship right now? Are you looking for a relationship?
No, not really. I just was curious because I was listening and you mentioned ways about presenting yourself. And
okay, you know what
we want concrete. We want concrete.
Concrete things for presenting yourself.
Yeah. Okay.
You guys can just jump into what you think looks good.
Pardon? So
what are some right now? Just sort of the way I'm presenting myself. What are some good things and bad things?
Well, see, you've already got a lot going for you because you have that kind of. You've got some kind of weird half Asian quality thing, which people just dig anyway, right? You've got some weird racial mix that people really just drawn to. So already you could just sit there and just like be bleeding and people would still be attracted to you, right? Because it was just the, you know, or whatever.
No, but it has to do with just with, if I put a paper bag over my head.
If you were unconscious and completely still, people would still be attracted to you, I'm telling you, because you have this fascinating.
So, we'll ask Michael over here.
Accutane. That's my suggestion, Tom. Accutane.
What does that mean? What do you mean?
It's the acne medicine.
Okay. Hi, caller.
Was that intended to be a cruel insult? You don't have acne.
Hi, caller. I'm sorry for getting off topic. What was the thing? So what things do you like in other people? What are some things that you admire about other people you find attractive to yourself?
I believe that honesty is important, I guess. And the way they're, as far as what's inside yourself. And also, I also believe... grooming's pretty important as well as,
grooming?
Yeah.
So do you, more like clean cut?
A little bit, yeah.
Uh-huh.
So the caller looks for deeper, more, what's inside the person rather than these kind of cheesy presentation issues.
Mm. Well, he just said he liked grooming.
Well, there's grooming.
Grooming in what sense? Yeah. Like, would it bother you if I shaved my chest?
No, not really.
What about if I had no pubic hair?
I do like a little bit, but not.
If I just never defecated?
You have to. It's a biological necessity.
I actually kind of disagree that like looking for honesty is not superficial, because I actually think at a very basic level that a lot of the times the demand from honesty when people say that they want it is really has a lot more to do with a. This might be a little bit insulting to the caller, but this is something I've thought about a good bit, and that is that it really has to do with like a very simple way of basically being in control of the person you're in the relationship with. That, you know, that when people say they want someone who's honest, they're wanting someone who's like going to be more easily manipulable, someone who's like more straightforwardly obedient. I personally have decided that I absolutely do not want a lover to be someone who would be, who would put honesty as a high priority.
You're on the, well, I'll have a look at the caller respond to that, but I would just like to suggest that you're on the worst kind of crack I've ever.
Yeah, no, I think the thing is that when your self-esteem is so low and you know, I agree that honesty is a good thing, because you don't have to worry about any possibility.
And I think when people say that they want somebody who's honest, but what they don't want is somebody, one of these like people who are, you don't want somebody who's manipulative, somebody I mean, there's certainly a lot of people who are like players who sort of just like habitually lie and manipulate other people in order to maximize their own gain. And so when you ask for somebody who's honest, what you're really asking for is somebody who's not into playing that kind of
right.
Sick antisocial game.
But caller, you want to go back onto more physical characteristics of self-presentation? I mean, you really can't determine if I'm honest or not if I'm at a party.
Yeah. I kind of like how my guy is built too, though.
When are built?
Yeah.
Are you built yourself?
A little, yeah.
What do I mean? Look at this arm. Is that built?
Well, there's a difference between just built and built. I think that some people that just look big look stocky, mm-hmm. and then some people when they're built they just look rounded.
Yeah.
So, Carla, do you like more like stocky types, like thick necks, or do you like more rounded? Like I guess like Marky Mark is rounded.
I kind of like stocky, I guess.
All right. Well, also that doesn't really have to do with much with presentation.
Mm-hmm.
That's more just like long term. But what would you do? What do you sort of like? What do you like when people, in terms of just presentation, the way they act?
I kind of like them to act.
So you guys want to do some random things? Like if I was up to you at a party, if I walked up to you?
Okay.
So if I walked up to you at a party and I put my hand on your neck and said, "Don't talk for 10 seconds, or I'll kill the girl next to you."
Okay. That'd be a turn off.
What would you do?
Turn off.
Turn off. Okay, I agree.
It would be a turn off.
Yeah.
What if it was a Halloween party?
I may see it as a joke, I guess,
What if I walked up to you and said, "Would you please be my lap dancing partner? Because there's an empty chair over there, and I need someone to practice with."
That'd be a little forward, I guess, you know.
Do we have to call security?
Do you find people more attractive that are assertive or more passive?
A little more passive, I think.
Really? Do you like to take the assertive role in your relationships?
A little, yeah.
When I say assertive role in relationships, I don't mean just solely sexual. I mean also just in terms of interpersonal relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Why the assertive role?
Because I like to be a little bit more in control, you know.
So what would you do if you and I are in a relationship and you and I had sex with your family and you just found out and you walked in the room and I was having sex with them and you just walked in the room, what would you say now?
I'd kill you.
This no. is a simultaneous multi
having sex with mother and father?
This is more extended family.
With everyone?
they're all taking numbers. So what would you say? Be assertive and tell me what you'd say.
With everyone in the
get out?
You would just say, get out?
Yeah, get out of my relationship.
And I was like, well, let me finish. I have a few more to go.
Okay.
And then what would you say?
I tell you to pack your bags and get the hell out.
Come on, that's not assertive.
What's it?
I want to hear.
What? We can't use swear words in the radio.
Yeah, don't curse. I mean, you can do it without cursing, but.
He's already told you to pack your bags and get out. What do you want? You're gone.
You want, like, a knife in the back?
No, I mean, I want things like, "This is my family." I want, like, a nice monologue. All right, caller. So why the assertive role? Do you feel like you take assertive roles in your sexual relationships also?
Yeah, I believe I do, yeah.
What do you consider assertive role?
I believe that if I'm assertive, I believe that I'm more in control of whenever I get deceived. Do you know what I mean?
I'm sorry, can you repeat yourself?
If I'm deceived, I guess I'd like to be more in control.
It's that word that I understand. If you're what?
Deceived.
Deceived?
Yeah.
So if I said, "Hey, do you want to help me fix my car?"
Uh-huh.
And then I have a group of my friends pin you down, then you want to be in control?
Oh, no, I mean like deceived, like sexually or with a relationship, you know what I mean?
Oh, so it was like, "I didn't go to the mall last night, I was with your family." And then you would be more assertive?
When you say with my family, you mean sexually, right?
Yeah. So then you would be assertive. Then you would say, "Look, Tom. Now you get some. Here's the punishment." Is that what you mean by assertive?
Yeah.
And so when you masturbate, when you think of your sexual situations, do you tend to take the more assertive role or more passive role?
Assertive
in what sense?
Being the top.
Excuse me?
Being the top.
Being on top?
Uh-huh.
When you think about it, do you see yourself approaching the person and sort of bringing them into the sexual situation, or is it just the sex?
Or is it more like even like something near rape?
I think it's just basically the sex, really.
Just the sex. So it starts out with just a torso?
Mm-hmm.
There's a difference. Like, females, when they masturbate, it tends to be like, oh, I'm at the mall, and then some guy comes up and, like, helps me, and then it's more of, like, a prolonged sexual... the producer agrees. She says...
I'm at the mall, I'm eating a Cinnabon.
Yeah, it tends to be more of the thing of the seduction and the precursor to the sex, where with males, it tends to be just merely the sex.
Uh-huh.
So it's curious with yourself.
That's interesting.
So do you consider yourself being in the... on top, being the assertive one?
Yeah.
Well, do you consider yourself being assertive in terms of propositioning for sex?
No.
So you tend to be the passive role for propositioning, but once you get into a sexual thing, do you feel it has to do with your fear of being rejected? Like, I think the thing is, once you start a sexual thing, you know you're not going to be rejected, so then you can sort of take the active role with that.
I honestly don't know.
Have you ever come on to someone?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think myself. I don't think I've ever actually come on to someone. I don't think I've ever really hit on someone in my life.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it depends on what you consider being, like, hitting on someone. I don't think I've ever gone... I've never had, like... Cole, have you ever used a pickup line?
No, I haven't.
Neither have I.
Okay.
I don't know any.
Mm-hmm.
That's incredible. So you get all this sex, and yet you never... use come on lines.
Caller, how frequent do you have sex? Like, I mean, I don't ask that specific, but if you don't make the, if you don't proposition people, I guess do people proposition you?
It just comes naturally. Like, you just strike up a conversation and.
You just bring them back?
Pardon?
Do you bring them back?
Somewhat, yeah.
Mm-hmm. For me, it's mostly just sort of, I feel bad for them. It's sort of like a charity thing.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I do really like helping people.
Uh-huh.
Well, the nice thing about having a perfect penis, I mean, I'm glad you have a perfect penis and yet are so willing to share it. I mean, I think it would be a shame if you were selfish about it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's really, really admirable.
Mm-hmm. So, caller, what would you do if you were in a sexual situation with someone who was equally or more aggressive than you?
I think I'd maybe like it, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
So, do you think your aggressiveness is, like, real, true aggressiveness, or is it sort of phony?
I'd say I like a challenge, I guess.
What would you do if I was having sex with you and I put my belt around your neck and said, "Don't breathe for 10 seconds or I'll kill you"?
That'd be pretty cool.
Really?
Yeah.
So what if when the 10 seconds were up, I said, "Let's make it 15, and you were starting to turn a little blue. Would you still think it's cool?
I don't know about that.
What would you do if I said, "Listen, why don't you watch me have sex with your parents"? Would you want that?
No.
Okay. What would you do if I said that... after I was going to have sex with you, I was just going to pretty much just walk out the door and leave and forget that you ever existed.
That's a tough one there. I'd probably let you go, maybe.
What do you mean by let me go? Like, let me just... When I say me, I mean, it's like, whatever, not Tom. I mean, just like me as, like, the essence of perfection. I'm sorry, I don't like that.
Yeah.
So, you would say, yeah, go as in leave right now, or do what you're going to do and then leave?
We'll go and leave right now, I guess.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you have any comments on this?
No, I was sort of waiting for you to form your psychological conclusion. I mean, you're gathering all this data now.
No, I don't want to form conclusions. I think it's weird how you would allow me to put my belt around your neck. What if I said, "Go on all fours and let me ride you from behind," like sort of sit on your back with the belt around your neck?
Okay.
Would you let me do that?
Yeah.
Would you be wearing spurs?
No, not spurs. What if I said, give me oral sex while I watch television?
That'd be good.
What if
I'd do that.
What if I rested beer cans on your head?
That'd be good.
What if I finished the beer cans and then crushed them on your head?
Okay.
What if I, when I was done with your oral sex, I would just knee your face away and say, go back and do dishes?
Pardon?
Like, yeah. I would knee you in the face and say, go back and do dishes.
Okay.
All right.
That would be good or that would be bad?
Yeah. That'd be good.
All right, so so it's sort of odd that you classify yourself as being assertive, as sort of sexually allowing yourself to have beer cans crushed across your forehead.
I think that's pretty common. People who are assertive in their daily lives also, they want to be dominated sometimes.
No, but he considered himself sexually assertive.
It's assertion and dominance and masochism, and I think these are distinct ideas.
Well, what would you do if... you were giving me oral sex one day while I was watching television, and I had a group of my friends come over, and I said, listen, give them oral sex, and then get and do dishes again.
I'd like that.
You'd like that too?
Yeah.
What would you do if I said, can you please put a paper bag over your head with a hole cut out where your mouth is, and then give me oral sex?
Huh?
Would you go along with that too?
Yeah.
What if I said, let me hogtie you and pretend you're a piñata, and let me beat you, and when I finally let you crash down, then I'll let you give me oral sex?
Maybe not.
Okay.
Well, that's very standard at, like, birthday parties.
No, I'm just trying to find, I'm just trying to sort of, like, slowly...
Find your limit.
Yeah, find my limit of, it's sort of odd, like, I think in those situations, I guess I would consider myself as being the assertive one. Would there ever be a point where you would break free after doing, like, my eighth friend and being like, listen, I'm not doing this anymore?
That I don't know.
Really?
See, Tom, I think you're missing the point in a huge way. I think in any sort of sexual relationship where someone is the submissive one, the submissive one always has control in some sense. I mean, if I'm performing oral sex on you and your eight friends, I'm still the one. I want to be degraded. That's the whole point of it. I mean, I would...
Okay, so what extent? Caller, what would you do if I insisted that I ejaculate in your eye and I would not allow any sort of sexual intimacy unless I ejaculated into your eye?
I have to think about that one.
The eye.
What if I put a mask of Cindy Crawford on your head? Would you give me oral sex?
I don't know.
What if I called out your father's name while having sex with you?
That would be a little...
but would you still go through with it?
Maybe.
What if it wasn't your father? What if it was, say, Paul Lynde's name?
No.
Or, you know...
Well, you assume if I, the mask of Cindy Crawford, saying another person's name, that's like already beyond the name, and the father is beyond that. Cole, you know, we should bring you, we should invite you on the show one night.
Definitely. Interview you in more detail.
No, Cole, again, I'm not mocking you. I think that if we did this with any, I think that most people have some sort of, I don't consider this a problem at all. I think it's very good that you're honest about this, and I think it's nice that you admire honesty in other people because it's obviously a trait that you have yourself, and I think that traits that you admire in other people that you also have yourself are things that are truly... admirable.
No, I do want to mention, though, once again, that the opposite of honesty here is play. And play, I think, is a far better system to honesty.
Well, it depends on what you consider good play. Caller, would you prefer to have sex with someone that you knew was going to be out of town the next day, or would you prefer to have sex with someone who you knew would just be there with you and enjoy a nice sexual relationship for a long time?
I guess I'd like to have sex with somebody that's been there for a long time and will be there for a while, I guess.
So what would you do if, like, the... Chicago volleyball, Olympic volleyball team, or whatever, the U.S. volleyball team came to town, would you give them all oral sex, knowing that they'd be out of town in a week?
Yeah, but I prefer somebody, you know.
Mm-hmm. Why would you give them oral sex, knowing that they'd be out of town after a week?
They might be starved.
Excuse me?
They might be starved.
Starved
for sex.
I have a great-grandfather who's probably starved. Would you give him oral sex?
Probably not.
Okay, so then there's more than just, like, the starve thing.
Yeah.
people in survival theme are presumably very attractive. Like the setter is usually the gay member of the survival theme, isn't that right?
I think that's been proven. Yes.
Right, because they're the precision player rather than the hard hitting player. So they have they're usually the homosexual, and this is well known. I'm serious. It's not.
Caller, do you have any questions for us?
What do you look like?
What do I look like?
Yeah.
I guess I'm 6'1".
You are actually very attractive. You've classified yourself as the third ugliest person in this area, isn't it?
In CMU, yeah. Carl, are you affiliated at all with CMU?
Pardon?
Are you affiliated at all with CMU?
No.
Okay. What do I look like, or what does everybody else here look like?
I guess. Or what everybody else looks like.
Why don't you all describe yourselves for like 5 seconds? But look, here's the thing. Instead of just saying, I'm 6'1", I'm this, say it really nice. Like, say if you were trying to, like it was a competition. Whoever said it, like whoever presents themselves the best would win the caller. So we'll let Michael, you go first.
I'm 6'4".
Okay, you can't lie, but just sort of present yourself instead of just saying I'm 6'1", 178 pounds. Just be like, hi, my name's Tom, and I'm pretty vivacious, and I like to water ski. It's sort of more of a presentation like that.
Okay, I'll go first.
Sure.
Hi, my name is Corey.
If you do a fake voice also.
I don't do impressions.
Like, hi, this is
Okay. Hi. This is Corey. I'm been in graduate school for 7 years. I'm bitter and angry, and I don't like people. How was that? Was that what you're looking for?
So, caller, how
I'd have sex with you.
Caller, how's the blood flow in the crotch coming along?
Not yet.
Not yet.
Okay. See, that's what happens.
What could have Corey have said? I mean, isn't the name Corey alone a plus?
That is kind of an attractive name.
Yeah.
I mean, if you think of all the three names here, Tom, Corey, or Mike, which one sounds best?
Mike.
You think Mike?
Mike. Well,
interesting. So when you think of the name Tom or Mike or Corey, what do you think of?
Somebody fairly good looking.
So which name? When you think of Mike, what do you think of? More than just good looking.
A nice looking Italian guy.
Yeah, Mike I think of sort of like, yeah, pretty like sort of greasy.
greasy Southern Italian sort.
What do you think of when you think of Tom?
Tom is some sort of Norwegian gay porn star name.
Excuse me, Colin?
Oh, Finland.
A nice professional guy.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
A nice professional guy.
How about Thomas?
Professional, like Swedish professional porn star, is what I was saying.
Or Tommy. And Corey, what do you think of Corey?
Somebody young.
Yeah, me too. It's so odd. I can't think of a Corey over 17.
Well, that's because there aren't. I mean, actually, it was a very uncommon name when I got it. I'm serious. I mean, it's actually a much more common name now than it was when I was born. I could never get license plates. You know, like those little things you buy at these stores, like pencils or licenses with your name on it.
Caller, we're going to have to go off in about 3 minutes, but if you'd like, you can definitely call us back next week.
Okay.
And if we're not here next week, then the week after that.
I'm not going to be here next week.
You're not going to be here next week?
No.
What about, is the whole show going to be here or no?
I don't know.
Caller, we really appreciate you calling.
Okay.
And think of good questions, and I'll send you a picture of me in the mail.
Okay.
So leave your address with our producer. You're not going to do that, are you?
What, leave the address?
Oh. Are you going to send him a picture of you?
Caller, do you have,
Yes.
I assure you, you'll end up seeing me by the end of the week.
Okay.
Wow.
You know, I mean, as like a picture or something like that.
Okay.
He'll have to leave his address with our producer.
Yeah, we'll figure out something.
All right, thanks so much for calling.
Caller, I apologize for having to cut you short, but we're actually going to have to end the show in a little bit. So thank you again for calling.
Okay, thanks.
It was good talking to you.
Okay.
Wow, that was really surreal. Tom, you always control the show when you come on. It's really disturbing to me.
No, I sort of, and it's weird because it sort of bothers me to even hear other people talking, so.
Because you think that I don't understand.
No, does it really bother you?
That you control the show? No, I'm submissive by nature.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it bothers me that you control the show, and yet you won't let me perform oral sex on me and then crush a can on my head. It's like there's a duality to your control. I mean, you should either go all the way or not at all.
Michael, why are you reading? That's rude.
Oh, I'm just reading the Quran so I can understand like how Allah wants us all to be homosexuals.
I'm serious. I'm totally. You must not mock the Quran on my show. And it's still my show. I don't care if you're controlling it. It's still my show. You do not mock the Quran on my show.
I mock the Quran wherever I go. You know, it's the way to go.
Well, oh, come on. I don't want callers next to call. So you're not going to be here next week, right?
Correct.
You're going to be out of town?
I'm going to be in San Diego, in fact.
Oh.
at a military base in San Diego.
Oh, boy.
So, yeah, this is... So,
is there a shower there?
Well, you know, presumably these people have... It was indeed in San Diego where they all these sailors got in trouble, right? Because some... You know, as you know, enlisted men get paid very poorly. They're like the poorest people in the country. They're really poor. And what are you doing? Why are you doing that?
I'm trying to figure out how much time we have left.
Why do you care? You're not in control of the show. All right. So this porn director guy hired these sailors to masturbate in front of the camera. He said he was auditioning people for porn movies. And since they're so poor, they did it. And then he ended up selling these videotapes, and they became very popular because they were very authentic. And these guys got in a lot of trouble and so on. So anyway.
So you can't do porn while moonlighting porn when you're in the military?
Well, actually, you know, if you guys want a topic for next week's show, I got two emails this past week. One inviting me to do a video of Odor Erotica, and the thing is that the promotion said that you just sort of had to talk for an hour, and at the end some of the actors will masturbate. It was really nice. I actually received two emails, so I can actually print them out and bring them in next time if you'd like to read them.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And the person who videotapes actually travels along these coasts.
Oh, I got that too, actually. Interesting. Okay, we have to go. I want to remind our listeners, this is WRCT Pittsburgh. Thank you all for listening. Thank you for a fascinating show. Tom and Michael, thank you for being here, and goodbye.